Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to Get The Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. And no real surprise on today's issue that we are talking about, AEW's backstage problems explained. Sig, why all the backstage drama in AEW?
That's a bloody loaded question, isn't it? It's an increasingly tiresome combination of various factors that have now converged into this sprawling mess. Think of it like the shape of a goddamn hourglass, right? It's just lots of things have gone into it, and now loads and loads of things are coming out. It's like, by the day at this point, the reports of unrest, physical altercations backstage. Like, there's every single core issue with AEW, whether it's the booking, the backstage atmosphere, locker room morale, people getting pushed, or not really feeling like stars anymore. All of it, in my opinion, every single last AEW problem can all be linked back to Tony Khan, who I still think is a tremendous booker at his best, just got extremely greedy, extremely giddy about the prospect of signing far too many wrestlers, and it really is a case of they can't all get spots. Clearly some of them are feeling demoralized. You couldn't get out of this company for 2 years. People wouldn't talk about anything. You heard the darkest of Twitter rumors about the AVPs falling out. That was a big one in late 2019. Obviously, things have happened in this professional wrestling company. It's a professional wrestling company. Professional wrestlers are maniacs. They are gossipers. They are all of these things. And yet for 2 years, to an extent that CM Punk thought, you know what, that's probably a good locker room to go into. They kept the lid on everything. And then when they signed too many people and there were too few spots, unrest, demoralization, all of these sorts of things, started to happen and people started to talk, to air their grievances. That's how people get over these things. They find it cathartic to just have a right bitch and moan. And that's happened. It's been fed to the sheets. So that sort of hasn't helped at all. The actual... And I love this. One of the core values of the company is expression. It should be cleared. They need to sort out some kind of internal guideline for this sort of thing to prevent a situation like Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara, or Hangman Page and CM Punk. That's gutting, but it's probably for the best at this point. It's one thing to clear pre-written material, but the whole point of a electrifying face-to-face confrontation or promo battle or whatever you want to call it is that they can riff. They can think of cooler things in the moment. If you have actual conversations with people, you can find the funniest jokes that pop you, like certainly in the office with us, come within, like, when we're riffing on some absolutely stupid bollocks. 3 or 4 jokes deep, you get the funniest material because the rhythm of a conversation and the chemistry among friends and performers and all the rest of it happens, like, deep into it. So that's the joy of a pro wrestling segment. But that is when you say stuff that isn't really pre-approved and then it can just lead to all these things. So the core value is like the problem and the solution to AEW's problems as well. In the meantime, reportedly, whatever word you want to say that covers my ass legally, is that Triple H has reportedly, allegedly, whatever, you know, Mega did apparently the legal chief write a letter admonishing them for doing this and a cease and desist and everything else. Triple H has purportedly tampered with contracts, and this has caused, to Dave Meltzer's words, not mine, huge unrest within the promotion. They now have the alternative to what was the alternative. Now they're trying to get fired, apparently. That's another quote from Dave Meltzer, and it's just this absolute toxic and, for me, increasingly tiresome combination. I know there are some irony guys on Twitter or on Reddit saying, oh, this is cool, this. Is it? Or would watching Kenny Omega's latest storyline play out be cool? Or CM Punk, if he didn't suffer the injury, would watching his next storyline play out be cool? I think that would be cooler, personally, than going, Andrade punched Sammy Guevara. What, you get, 2 minutes of a bit of fascination about that. But that's what it is. Ultimately, these problems all started when Tony Khan became very undisciplined with his recruitment process.
Yeah, we're not going to get into too much of who did what backstage at Dynamite this week because we're never really going to possibly know the true story for quite some time. But we talked about this on the Dynamite Review podcast, Hamlet, in the fact that this is the second time now that...
That we know about,
that something like this has happened, and it has completely overshadowed a great wrestling show from AEW.
Yeah, to Cedric's point about the Dave Meltzer line, I think about the unrest, this is the second time this has happened that we know of, but there are other cases where it could have done. He related that to, Dave Meltzer related that to the, even if nothing that has been purported, alleged, reported, existed, the mere idea that wrestlers suddenly see WWE as an alternative again when they didn't before, that in itself is kind of enough based on what we know about the history of pro wrestling and how they're independent contractors. And, you know, as soon as there's blood in the water, or in this case, cash, like a lot of them will go swimming for it. Where, you know, that there was an interesting take I saw online regarding this specific Sammy and Andrade thing, whereby, you know, we're going to talk about like releases shortly in that, but if people are getting angry enough to get out of their job that they will either instigate publicly fights or indeed have them, then that in itself is a kind of almost proves the success of being able to throw out there this idea that there is an alternative, because look at the ways people will, in wrestling at least, in that insane world, will look to potentially get out of a contract or get out of a deal. It's funny, obviously, you know, we don't endorse, and you absolutely shouldn't endorse, physical violence being a way that people get out of their frustrations within the workplace. Historically, there's loads of cases of wrestlers fighting in the past and it being seen as this. Yeah, as The Undertaker would like people bringing guns and knives in the locker rooms when he was just breaking into the business, it was seen as this thing where, you know, they'll have fights and they'll get out of the system and then they'll go out there and have a beer afterwards and work. Like, just because that's how it used to happen, it doesn't mean that it still should. Like, this should all be, everything, progresses and everything evolves. And AEW should be kind of like the banner promotion for things evolving. It's almost a worse look for it to be taking place in AEW than it is in WWE, because people have just got rock bottom expectations of how things go on because of The Undertaker and Wrestlers Court and bullying.
And The Undertaker
and systemic abuse and The Undertaker and Kane's real life use as a politician and The Undertaker. There's so many
JBL.
There's so many examples of how this company fostered this that, you know, in the many ways that AEW were trying to change and move wrestling forward, this was one of the big ones. It wasn't going to get said out loud, but it absolutely, you know, should have been something that was going on behind the scenes. So it feels particularly toxic that it's taking place there. And we don't make the rules, but in terms of how, to Cedric's point about how entertaining it might be on the timeline for a bit, or being quite juicy and a bit gossipy, unfortunately, there are no rules as to what the difference between one being high drama and kind of awesome and one being really tedious and lame. And unfortunately, there are no sort of rules to that. Some wrestlers, it becomes the biggest story in the game and one of the biggest stories of the year and potentially like industry defining, as was the case with Punk and the Elite. And in other cases, a Twitter spat just makes like both wrestlers feel like the kind of guys you don't want to see on television. Like, you'd rather see them sent home to cool off until things are sorted, you know?
I want to point out very quickly, because I didn't do so in the start of the pod, but ultimately I used Triple H as an example of why this is happening. Tony Khan is very much to blame for this as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come across as an AEW shill. If you listen to the podcast for the last 2 months, I've been called anything but that. But regardless, yeah, Triple H has kind of exacerbated the situation, but Tony Khan ultimately has compounded it very much. Like, his idea of getting ahead of this Sammy Guevara Andrade situation by having a quiet word with the pair of them by saying, "Now, Homer, don't you eat this pie." Andrade on Twitter said, "I'll see you on Wednesday. We'll talk then." That's probably what prompted someone from AEW, whether it was Tony Khan or otherwise, he's obviously given the order, or he should have. What do you expect?
It's why schoolyard fights happen after school instead of at lunch.
Yes, exactly.
Because then otherwise teachers would break it up.
It's unbelievable that I knew for a fact on yesterday. I wish I'd tweeted this so I could just do a quote tweet. I'm fully expecting to wake up to the headline, Andrade, El Idolo, and Sammy Guevara in backstage brawl. This is the one thing we didn't want to happen. It's the one headline you shouldn't read, but it's the one that you knew was coming, and they should have taken more preventative action, and that's just the tip of the iceberg for the really lax management that has been going on in AEW. It's just ridiculous that it's got to this point. It's ridiculous that they were even allowed in the same part of the building. It's ridiculous that they weren't monitored each going into work or something to that effect. Obviously, there are freedoms involved and all the rest of it, but just use some goddamn common sense. Mm. This was bound to happen, and that it was allowed to happen is fairly disgraceful.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So where do AEW go from here?
Well, it was a couple of months ago when they unveiled like sort of a management structure, sort of an organizational chart of, it, not agents, but what do they call them? Like the sort of talent relations staff, like your ex-wrestlers, your Jerry Lynn's, your Pat Buck's, Christopher Daniels and the like, who of course have found themselves between a bit of a rock and a hard place because they separated one fight and got suspended, and now another one has taken place, and they're probably thinking, well, what is our role in this, you know? So that felt at the time, maybe, because that all came about before the Punk blow up, so maybe that was the first attempt, and now it evidently was a failed one, of Tony Khan to maybe try and like get across it or try and be a bit more proactive. Maybe he was seeing things bubbling up and was, you know, that's me possibly being a bit too generous, but certainly that was, they made a point of announcing it, that there'd been a structural change backstage. And I guess it shouldn't be the case. Like, they're not, you know, always said this, it's great that they were competitive to WWE, but they were far from the little engine that could. And it probably should have been, like, thought about beforehand, but now it's occurred, they've got to try and fix it, so they've got to try again, like another structural shift. I've long been an advocate, and I do understand the criticisms of this, because it quickly, in wrestling, descends into a Bob Holly or Undertaker holding a gavel and pretending to be a judge. But Tony Khan needs a bad guy. He does. He need, like, it's my belief, certainly, that he needs
a fair, impartial guy who is perceived as a bad guy by the boys.
It's a hard job. It's a hard job. Jim Ross, like, as well as his black cowboy hat, wore a million others underneath Vince McMahon as pretty much the number two in that company in the Attitude Era. Managed all those talents as successfully as he did. Hired, fired, paid, you know, like so many difficult jobs. So it takes an incredible person to do it. Maybe get Jim Ross involved as somebody that can scout the next guy, or, you know, somebody that he thinks he sees something in somebody that might be able to do it. It's not an easy position, and somebody should be well paid for it. But even from an outsider's perspective, I know that, like, billionaires just see the world differently. And to him, like, having three or four major sporting enterprises to oversee is something that he just sees as part of his lot in life. And we just look at the world differently. But that is enough without having to turn... And then he books a wrestling show, by the way.
Yeah.
Without turning up to work and thinking, well, before I can manage all these massive million-dollar enterprises and book a wrestling show, I've got to do this talent liaison stuff at the very, very ground level. Because either he's not doing it, and thus what we're seeing is happening, or he's doing it, and it's something that he can't do. And I know people of that level probably don't like to acknowledge that they can't do a thing. But again, be progressive. Think outside of the box. Be different to all the rest, and acknowledge your failings for the betterment of this not happening again. Because everything's got a knock-on. The more he deals with this, the more that's going to take his focus away from other things. And does he look like he's got much time in the day to waste? Like, you don't want to make another person that sleeps 2 hours a day and ultimately their brain turns to wax like Vince McMahon's did. That's not a good, like, sort of road to travel down. So the more he can acknowledge that now, I'm not one of these people. Like, I wouldn't want to be in Tony Khan's shoes, but you just think as an outsider, try again. Like, bring more people in, get help, figure it out, speak to more veterans, whatever it is. All these things are accessible to you, so try that.
I don't want to sit here. We're not going to sit here and say that wrestlers should be fired either. But should we see releases if people want to go? Like, is that the solution?
Yeah, I don't want to advocate anyone losing their jobs.
No.
Unless they themselves want to be freed from their jobs. One of the best things that Tony Khan has done outside of booking is that he has honoured virtually every single contract with the exception of disciplinary purposes. And I think there might have been one or two exceptions during the pandemic. But ultimately, with the likes of your George Janellas and your Marco Stunts, he's had no time for them as members of the roster, but he's paid out the remainder of their deals, and it's just a nice thing to do, ultimately. So yes, continue that. But if people want to leave, they ultimately should be allowed to leave. Now, I lean a certain way politically, that you can probably infer from what I've just said, but workers should have rights. They absolutely should. They are the lifeblood of all of this. That is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to express it. But on a fundamental level, yes, they should be allowed to leave. There are extreme benefits for the employer if these unhappy talents want to leave. It's different. If, like, Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley and MJF, right? Probably my three favourites that are in AEW, if they even still are there anymore, all said, all right, Tony Khan, I want to leave. I'd be like, well, hang on a second. They signed a contract. They signed a contract. So, you know, sucks to be them sort of thing. So there is a double standard. And people who are saying, well, you know what, I'm one of them. Andrade, I don't find him a particularly compelling week-to-week character. Great in the ring. Not really interested in the matches that he builds or fails to build. You know what, if he's unhappy, let him go. There is a precedent you can set. I understand this, but on an ultimate fundamental level, I was being facetious just then. If they want to leave and they've got exact reasons to leave and it can't be worked out, if you set a precedent, you set a precedent. This is pie in the sky stuff that I don't think is ever going to happen. But certainly, I buried WWE so fiercely for keeping FTR, Brodie Lee, and several others who were desperate to leave and weren't allowed to leave. And it should be the exact same thing, irrespective of the talent involved. But that's the thing. I don't think that really appreciated talent who are paid handsomely, who are getting pushed, are suddenly going to leave. There's no hypothetical scenario where if Andrade goes, Chris Jericho is going to go, you know what? I'm out here as well. Bollocks, it's not going to happen. Have faith in your system, in this Ellis Island. If it, in fact, is Ellis Island, people will want to stay there. Mm. That is just the absolute gist of it. And on a fundamental level, yeah, if you're not happy somewhere, whether I think they're a great worker or a boring character or what, if people are fundamentally unhappy, I really don't like the idea of them being there. So, yeah, they should grant release requests. I understand why they are not going to, but they should.
And your thoughts quickly on Hamflet's idea of having more people in there to help Tony with these sorts of things?
Yeah, absolutely. This apparent internal restructure that they've done, look at the stories, this hasn't worked. It obviously hasn't worked. I've got all the respect for the people who have been named as part of this management structure for the different jobs that I've watched them do off screen. It doesn't appear to be working from the outside looking in. I'm not there. I'm not privy. But Jesus Christ, apply Occam's razor to the situation and realize and grasp that this company needs some kind of external hires and a real structure. I hate this. I absolutely hate this. The idea that it's going to be more of a corporation, but it's naive to expect with a level of ego, the sheer number of talent, that something far more formal, external, prone to pre-existing relationships are all over wrestling when ex-wrestlers and personnel get involved. They need an external company or an external hire to deal with this, because right now it's absolute amateur hour. Amateur hour stuff that fosters a toxic environment.
Hamflet, finally, your thoughts on releases from AEW?
I'm less... I've seen the arguments about how... And, you know, like, Tony Khan at this point has kind of made no secret of it. He feels like he's in a war. Triple H will still be smarting from, like, NXT getting its ass kicked, and he will too feel like he's in a war. The very first interview he did where he was like, yeah, they beat Adam, not a big deal. He knew what he was doing, right? So, like, they're back at it in, like, in a different way to the word before, but they're absolutely back at it. I think all, like, this Andrade thing in particular, and again, this does come down to a subjective thing, because you might think that the next person that gets released doesn't have to be Andrade, the next person, they're just giving away a WrestleMania main event. How could they do that? And what are the optics of that? And what's it going to look like and all that? The reality is, like, Like, that's going to be the exception rather than the rule.
It is.
We are entering that, like, WWE is a more credible place to work than it was under Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Versus AEW, that has been, certainly for a while at least, a land of opportunity for wrestlers that were getting badly serviced by WWE. Like, that's passé. We've entered what will realistically be more of an infinite loop of mid-carders, hopefully negotiating the best money they can make, and then potentially, opportunistically, making the most of that and doing better than they were before. Like, that's what people really wanted when AEW launched. The people that were desperate for something resembling the Monday Night Wars in terms of, like, wrestlers jumping, that's what it was. A favourite of ours, X-Pac, jumps in 1998, right, from WCW to WWE. A big loss to WCW, but two stacked rosters, and he was still only in the mid-card because Steve Austin and The Rock were at the top of the WWE. He wasn't going to main event WrestleMania, for that example, you know. WWE right now aren't going to take Andrade back and put him in there against Roman Reigns. He could be a great utility player. But the people, and maybe this is Tony Khan, I don't know, but you do see some people sort of getting almost defensive on his behalf, on AEW's behalf, saying, well, they can't because it'll look terrible if he goes back. Yeah, but other wrestlers are going to jump the other way. Like, this is just going to keep happening now because that's the point of this more competitive, like, the sort of more enterprising marketplace that AEW's very existence helped create, you know. I wish more wrestlers were just on full-time contracts and this was less of a debate, but if we're stuck with the independent contractor model, let this work for them. And as to Sidgwick's point as well, like, morale and everything that comes with it, I keep going back to this. You really can't encourage people to go and punch their colleagues as a way out of their contract. It's awkward with Andrade that this could be how he was to leave because he should have probably just been released first. He's obviously fear. He's not got much job fear, and that's manifested in this. But it won't manifest that way for everybody. Mm. Some people might just politely say, I'd quite like my release, please, rather than airing loads of dirty laundry on Twitter.
Well, let us know your thoughts on AEW's backstage problems in the comments section below. Like, share, subscribe. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. And, of course, continue the conversation with us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.